commission.
Is it disloyal? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious. Makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well, now you got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio.
Insanity runs in my family. Practically gallops.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco and gold is.
This is Jake, the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life. Wow!
Fire it up!
Why don't you get a job, Spicoli?
What for?
You need money.
All I need is some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Revolution Radio. And now it's time for that feral hippie herself, an infotartic, esoteric, eclectic mix of the adventures of that feral hippie, Miss Mona Radler.
What are you people, on dope?
That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
Make a move and the money gets it.
Dave's not here.
All right, go ahead. It's all yours. Take it away.
Well, here we are at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Yeah, it is Wednesday, the 23rd of March, 2022. We are here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. If I said it twice, oh well, just the way it goes. Ah, goodness gracious, sakes alive. We are listener supported, so please help us out by coming to the freedomslips.com homepage and find the donate click. where we can actually keep on going. Yeah. Keep us on air. Yep. Alrighty then. Let's see what's going on. I wanted to start with Lee Dundas. And whatever she's, well, there's an AmericanFaith.com Reawaken America thing that's going on that she spoke at. So wanted to hear what she had to say. It's all for the money, Lee. You know that. Oh, my. You're kidding. This is how bullshit my brain is. I apologize, people. Oh, my God. I just didn't know that. Fuck. Only 25 minutes into it, so we lost the whole first part of the show because of my ignorance. Holy effing crap. And here I am in tears over what she's saying. God. Oh, my God. WTF. And I just... Oh, I wish I would have known. Oh, man. I wish I would have known, but I didn't know. And now it's time for a break. Oh, I'm going to blame it on my cat. It was just driving me nuts. I am here. Gee, that was horrible. And you were telling me. I was just watching the video. God. And I haven't even gotten stoned yet. My gosh. Ugh. I better get stoned, huh? Fuck. Ugh. Thank you.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
The pill has been taken. The blinders are off. Are we in the end game? Or are we simply living a replay of a time that's already happened, with no choices? Different people have different points of view. When it comes to creation versus evolution, my point of view, we were created to evolve. The Red Pill. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern in Studio B. www.freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. Check it out.
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
Lost a little honey on the lone highway, left me for another on the lone highway. They killed dirty Don McGee on the lone highway.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Oh, my goodness gracious sakes alive. My gosh. All right. I'm going to replay it just because this was a vital situation that was going on in our nation. Now, if you know me, you know that I told Scott McKay this. I said, tell Lee, do not let them stop in Washington. No matter what. Now, this woman's a power horse. She probably thought about it at the same time I thought about it, right? Oh, But anyway, I'm glad that they didn't. But this is all a show. See, because now W7 says there's, you know, no diesel available and other things like that. Jeez. And I don't wear headphones, popsicle toes. So, yeah, what's going on with that woman? She has no clue. I had no clue. I'm amazed I didn't see the little red line and just didn't recognize I wasn't even on. Good thing you could, I mean, because Shadow's been not doing well and can't make up its mind what it wants to do, my cutie. So, been trying to just stay up with the cuties. All right, here we go. Lee Dundas.
I greet one of my favorite friends here, a human rights attorney and defender of freedom who successfully fought back against the mandates of digital passports in Orange County. Ladies and gentlemen, Lee Dundas!
I'm a klutz. You guys know I'm going to trip over this stuff if I don't move it. Thank you guys for coming out in San Diego today. It's a beautiful day and you're a beautiful crowd. Thanks again for being here. So my name, if you didn't know it already, is Lee Dundas. I'm a human rights attorney. If you want to find me or follow me, because there is a lot of communist social media out there that's banning us all, you can go to freedomfighternation.org. I want to talk to you today about something that's really, really important. It's going to be a little more like class than I normally do. It's black PR, also known as black propaganda or disinformation campaigns or fake news. It has been around forever. What it is defined as is a bunch of lies, sometimes mixed in with the truth, sometimes not, that are slanted in a certain way to ruin the reputation and take out a competitor or your enemy. In Cleopatra's days, you know, she was in love with Mark Antony. Octavius didn't like it much, but there was no WAPO. There was no Twitter. So he called Mark Antony a womanizer, a boozer, a Cleopatra puppet, and he had the stuff printed on coins, because that was the Twitter of the day, and it worked. Mark Antony did himself in, and Octavius was crowned Emperor of Rome. They used it in World War I. They used it in World War II. Be careful when you believe the product of a disinformation campaign, because if you believe wrong and if you believe hard, you could end up thinking your neighbor, a Jew, is subhuman and burning them alive in an oven. Vietnam War, there wasn't a lot of support for the war, so they drummed up support with 5 o'clock follies out of a Saigon hotel, a little cheerleader campaign to explain how great the Vietnam War is when everybody here was thinking it wasn't so hot. So here's the question. If this stuff has been used since time immemorial in every single war, and I gave you the short version just now, do you really think they're not using it against us right now? Right? So here's how you handle a disinformation campaign. You point out the lie, and then you put the flippant truth on blast, and then you make it available to the masses so they can go, that kind of smelled like a rat, and that has the ring of truth, and now I know who's playing fair and who's not. So we're going to have a little case study today involving the last 6 days and the person you're looking at. Get a bag of popcorn. So all y'all know probably at this point I help the truckers. And by the way, that movement was a resounding success, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise, least of all me. When we were walking into Amarillo and there was 26 miles of highway along I-40, 5 and 10 people deep, it looked like the darn Rose Parade on steroids with no brakes and no gaps. 6-month-olds to 86-year-olds in their little walkers, you know, waving flags and cheering us on. I knew we had won the hearts and minds of the public because I had Democrats in Applebee's coming up to me saying, I'm double vax, I'm Native American, this is a liberal state, you're in New Mexico, and here's a few $100, give it to the boys.
Love the jab dose.
But about a week ago, it went a little weird where I was concerned with the truckers. Can you throw up the slides, guys? So, you heard, if you were reading things on Telegram, that the convoy was parting ways with Lee Dundas and Freedom Fighter Nation. And the People's Convoy, the truckers, started the movement, and they were going to see it through. And then you saw Patrick Byrne, potentially. I don't really know Patrick at all. Go, hey, it's a bad plan when you're setting Lee Dundas aside. I don't know you, Patrick, but thank you for that. And then, and I wouldn't have cared about that. That happens all the time, right? People slinging mud. And then down here on the right, last Sunday, it changed drastically. And you started hearing that they were accusing me of making off with $1.5 million of donations. Not all the truckers, just some of them. So what's true and what's not? Because in a disinformation campaign, like I said, the way you handle it is you put the truth on blast. So did the truckers start it? Kind of, sort of. This is how it started. They called me and they said, we want to do a Braveheart and what they're doing in Canada, in D.C. And I said, well, we're a little different than Canada. And if you go into downtown D.C., let me tell you, boys, you're going to get shot like fish in a barrel. Bowser's going to blockade you at one end, run a blockade at the back end. You're not going to be able to go forward. You're not going to be able to go backward. And then they're going to start shooting you and executing you and your calves and tell the rest of the world you shot first and you'll be dead, so you won't be able to clear your name. And they're like, oh, Breaker 1-9, we hadn't thought about that. You might want to. Or here's one for you. You don't even make it to D.C. because some bad boy with some bad toys in the back of his big rig joins the convoy at night in the middle of a flyover state and detonates a fertilizer bomb that has a 5-kilometer kill zone. And at that point, they decided they might want to have a little logistical help.
Right.
So let me tell you what I brought them. I brought them a retired naval commander. This is the guy that CENTCOM, military command, tapped in 2018, 2019 to keep the west coast of the Persian Gulf open when the enemy was threatening to shut it down and ice us out of our own military installations and our own ports. And that guy, that retired naval military commander, a man by the name of Ray Alexander, is the one who outfoxed the enemy and kept us open in the Persian Gulf. And he didn't want the Fauci-ouchie, and he retired out. And he donated his time, including sleeping in a -32-degree sleeping bag in an advanced car that we rented for him, a little four-banger Ford, going a day ahead of us, making damn sure that that was a safe convoy, and God bless him for it. So I brought that guy to him. Give him a round of applause. He deserves it. I brought a law firm / accounting firm / investment bank. It's a unicorn. It is the only one that is all three things in the entire U.S. to these boys, because I didn't want to see their donations go squirrely like Go F Me did in Canada and Give Send Go did and the government did up in Canada. And I thought, wow, if anybody could keep these boys' donations online safe, it's this firm. And then I bought them a security detail. I brought them a security detail that somebody else donated because, hey, I didn't want to be dead in a fertilizer bomb blast either, right? I brought him a web team times two. The first one wasn't fast enough, so we got him a faster one. I brought him a coach, a donated tour bus, so they had a roving command center from which to operate, because none of those five people on the planning committee, save one, brought their own big rigs. And I got them locations, because it's really hard to get 50 or 500 trucks together in the middle of nowhere with no planning. So when they didn't have a location, I went door to door in Barstow and Adelanto, in an ice storm that turned into a snowstorm with 50-mile-an-hour wind, blowing my car door off its hinges, knocking on junkyard doors and recycling facilities and saying, hey, you don't know me, but you have a lot of property here, and it's really, really flat, and it's right off I-395. Could we rent it next Wednesday? And people are like, what the what? Click. Until the Adelanto Stadium, who is run by a guy named Daryl, give him a round of applause, open us with welcome, open arms. And his brother-in-law happened to be the mayor, and his brother-in-law's wife happened to sing us a national anthem. And the mayor got 15 different law enforcement agents on board. CHP, Federal, Adelanto PD, Barstow PD, Criminal Intel Division, Coroner's Office, and a whole bunch I'm forgetting. And I walked in to 16 guys in uniform standing in a semicircle in the Adelanto Stadium parking lot. And I said, let me tell you what we're going to do so you can put your guns back in your holsters, because these guys may be ex-military, and they may be cops, and they may be as red as you and I, but a 30-mile-long convoy is an unmitigated nuisance, notwithstanding who they voted for. So they needed a little help being on board. And then I did that at every other stop with this naval commander that we went all the way through with. And because I was in the middle of a snowstorm with my hair standing up and my car door being blown off, I couldn't get on Bannon. or any of the other conservative journalists that wanted to interview me. So I let my assistant, a woman by the name of Maureen Steele, take the interviews. And Bannon, in his wisdom, decided he wanted to hear about the boys with the big toys every darn day. So she went on nonstop media interviews for the last 3 weeks. And 2 days ago, she let me know that she and Joshua Yoder, who founded U.S. Freedom Flyers, who also wanted to be on Clay Clark's stage when I got him on here 2 months ago, are now doing a freedom and accountability tour. So if you need to get a hold of me, call me. Don't call Maureen. She's on tour. And I wish them well, and I'm not being facetious, guys. This is the heaviest lift of our lives. There's room for more than one freedom fighter on stage. So I took the high road, and I didn't say squat. What's the truth? The truth is I was always leaving after Indianapolis because my daughter's last spring formal was this last weekend, and she had told me I'd missed more dances than I had been around for. So I was always flying home. And the boys got a little scared because there was a hit piece coming out on me, allegedly. And but that wasn't the breaking point. The breaking point is in Indy, the guys started saying they wanted to go into D.C. And I said, that was a hard stop. That was an express condition proceeding on which 100% of all my people's participation was given to you. And if you're going into D.C., we're tapping out, and I'm sorry. And I didn't say squat. And then they did that, and I didn't say squat. And then Byrne picked it up, and I didn't say squat. And then on Sunday, they accused me of taking in $1.5 million. And at that point, we're not in junior high school throwing mud at the wall, which I ignore. You've never heard me mean tweet, not even a single person on my side of the fence. Now we are in a disinformation campaign. You're accusing me of a federal crime, and we are going to put the truth on blast. So did I steal $1.5 million? Hell to the no. I brought them $500,000 of my own time, 19 hours a day, from 3:30 in the morning until midnight for 6 weeks, along with $500,000 of other people's time. I don't even know the bank that they're at. I never was a signer on the account, and I, on my own good name and the goodwill of all of you, raised them $30,000 plus in cash from the Atlanta stage, and they were using that to put in their darn gas tanks. If you heard otherwise, I was there, I watched it. And then they ran out of that cash in Oklahoma, and I called Jackson Lawmeyer, Clay Clark's friends, and Rob Marsh, and I said, hey, we need another infusion of cash to get us through Sunday. And they said, why the cash? And you're probably thinking, why the cash? Let me tell you why the cash. The boys just had to leave on February 23rd, and the bank account had been open for a day, and guess what we didn't have? A debit card. So we were rolling with cash, but it's not because anybody stole anything. And the press release slide that the truckers then decided they should issue to clarify matters confirmed that. Nobody stole anything. Have I ever stolen something? Yeah, I have. I stole my cousin's teddy bear when I was 3 years old and she was babysitting me. No, it's a true story. And I felt guilty. And every year my mom would take the teddy bear out and be like, put it away. And she'd be like, it's a cute teddy bear. Why can't we put it out? I'm like, because it reminds me of my guilt. But I didn't say that out loud. And then two people committed suicide. I was 19 years old in my first year of law school because I skipped high school. And we had to do mandatory counseling to make sure nobody else offed themselves during finals week. And the lady's like, are you suicidal? And I'm like, no. She's like, do you feel bad about anything? I'm like, yeah, this teddy bear. And she's like, what? True story. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do anything. Don't cheat. She's like, all right, adulting 101. Is your cousin still alive? I said, yes, she is. Is the teddy bear still somewhere? I said, pretty sure it's in my mom's attic in a toy box that I never look in. She's like, why don't you go give it back? And I did. And my cousin said, Lee, you didn't steal that teddy bear. I left it there. I was getting married. I didn't need him anymore. So a WAPO hit piece was going to come out on me. I don't know what it said, and you shouldn't either, because you should never read something that is a Chinese billionaire-owned LA Times or Washington Post. I'm guessing it was some version of Lee Dundas is a Satanist, Scientologist, Muslim, Jew, I don't know, insert your favorite religion of the week, like 31 flavors, everything but Christian, which is what I actually am. White supremacist who was at the Capitol. Was I at the Capitol? Heck yeah, I was on a stage a mile away the entire day. At the end of it, I watched a woman who had a double knee replacement back to her car. She got tired, sat on a planter, and happened to be in front of the Capitol, and a fan took a selfie, and there I am at the door of the Capitol, according to the WAPO. Did I give a fiery speech the day before? Heck yeah, I did. WAPO wouldn't be able to understand it because they've never read the frickin' Constitution or the federal laws. I talked about treason. I talked about the fact that our forefathers put only one crime in the Constitution. It wasn't rape and it wasn't murder. It was treason. Because treason done well and treason done right will kill an entire country. And that is why the death penalty is an appropriate response to it. Yeah. And there is federal law that says you can apply that death penalty by firing squad, by hanging, by lethal injection, or anything else. I am not a fan of death penalties, except in this instance. Because if you don't put that guy down and he gets out because the president pardons him because the president was part of the plot, now he does it again and we're all dead. More truth bombs for you. I'm not a Satanist and I'm not Illuminati because I did this with my hand to try to get my cat off the desk one time. And I'm pretty sure Clay Clark is not either. I'm not a Buddhist because I cover my arms when I'm in their temples in Southeast Asia pulling girls out of brothels. And I'm not a Muslim. Cue slide. I'm not a Muslim either, even though I cover my hair as a sign of respect when I'm in those same brothels. I am a Christian. My pastor when I'm doing the work in Asia is a man by the name of Eric Klar. He is not in this photo. I believe he was taking it. He is my ride or die when I am in red light jihadi districts that go boom 330 days a year. We spent the entire night buying this sex slave beer, even though none of us drank except for her. Why? Because they break their noses on the way into the brothel so they can look prettier to the pedophile buyers, and her nose was still fully packed with gauze. And let me tell you something. The mama-san, the madam, had her out on the floor. And if you pick up a violent pedophile, I'm going to connect the dots for you. And that guy wants oral sex, and your nose is fully packed with gauze. You're going to die. So this Christian pastor bought beer for her. And I sat there watching it for an entire night. That is my pastor. And when I'm stateside, it's Robert Shuler and Donna Shuler, and I was there on Sunday. And that guy, Eric Klar, will convert Muslims by the dozens to his God and my God. And they will come to him and say, I'm going to get rid of my headdress and my covering of my hair and my clothing. And he says, God doesn't care what you wear. You're going to get shot and executed in this country where we are on the Timalay border if you do that. You dress how you need to dress and you come in here because you're better off alive helping me be converting people to God's word and getting girls out of brothels. And that is how we roll. And if you got a problem with it, come ask me. I believe God gave his only begotten son to save us and give us eternal life. I believe it is not my part to deal with people who bear false witness or lies because God and God alone will do that. I do believe it is my part to forgive those who transgress against me because that is how I will be forgiven. And I also believe, like Corinthians said, that love is kind, love is patient, and love never fails. And by golly, people, we need to start taking the people on our own team and loving them instead of trying to execute them. I'm going to close with two questions and a story. The fight for freedom isn't free. It costs a lot. I got a hard question for you now. How much money are you giving to the fight? Are you a Starbucks guy? You're giving 10 bucks every month because that's what freedom is worth to you? Are you a Macy's girl? You're giving 100 bucks a month like you would a pair of shoes or purse at Macy's. Are you given a Honda Civic, $350? Is that what freedom is worth with you? How about a Beamer? Are you a Beamer guy? Going to give $700 a month? I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to explain to you some very basic tax. We're not going to win on goodwill alone. I am not giving anything right now because I have not had a paycheck since March 14th of 2020, nor has my husband, because we are giving everything we have to this fight 19 hours a day. But if I had a staff of 26 at my company like I used to, I would be giving a minimum of $5,000 a month. You know why? That is the cost of a freaking secretary in San Diego. And if my daughter and I end up in a FEMA camp, I want to be able to look her in the eye and say, your freedom was at least worth the cost of a secretary, baby. Or better yet, how about this? I give every dollar I have beyond putting food in her mouth and a roof over her head to this fight for freedom in an attempt to not end up in a FEMA camp. That is what I would be giving. And I think y'all need to think about that a little bit. You don't need to donate to me or anybody. If you want to donate to me, it's freedomfighternation.org. But I would ask you, is the person or is the nonprofit you're giving to, are they getting a product? If you buy a car, you want a car, not a lemon. You buy a widget, you want a widget. Is your nonprofit getting you freer? What's their track record? I don't do lawsuits in California. You know why? It's a 90% or higher fail rate right now. It's not that I don't know how. I got into Yale Law School when I was 17. I was representing Fortune 500 companies from the time I was 20. I know how to do a lawsuit. I'm not going to play on a losing battlefield that's a foregone conclusion, but I will tell you what I've been doing. I took out the Orange County health officer by the name of Nicole Quick, put her on blast. I handled the Orange County Digital Passport Vaccine Program, got a Holocaust survivor by the name of Vera Sherrod to do a little TV commercial for us, raised $250,000, didn't take a dime. Didn't take a dime for that. Put it all to MSNBC and CNN. Put that TV commercial on blast, and that digital passport program was done. I did the nationwide walkout in November. A bunch of transport workers decided they wanted to cause a little hiccup in the supply chain, so I helped them do that. And let me tell you, that was a freaking success, because on November 30th, 3 weeks later, the FTC ordered Tyson Foods, Walmart, Kroger, and a whole bunch of others to pony up data on why their shelves were bare and their prices were sky high. That's called a win, guys. And then I took on the pilots in December. Because the pilots were dying by the thousands. And I told the FAA, how dare you ignore your own rules that say that pilots should not be flying with experimental products in here. And this thing isn't even FDA approved.
Right. Yes.
And I drafted that letter. And I sent that letter. I did a press conference the Monday before Christmas at CPAC. Thank you, Real America's Voice, for doing that. And then, because it's not my first day, I looked up the home addresses, all the home addresses of the FAA director and the CEO of American and Delta, and I had that little gem hand-delivered to them the day before Christmas. And 4 weeks later, the FAA, head of the FAA, resigned the day before two helicopters fell out of the sky with what I'm sure was probably vaccinated pilots in Newport Beach and Miami. So, that is my track record. I am a 100% hitter, and I haven't taken a damn dime. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. So I am going to close with a little story. You're going to hear how the end of the Indianapolis thing concluded. You need to know, when you are the subject of a disinformation campaign, how to deal with the people who are elected to be the messenger of it. So one of the donors, we had a lot of high net worth donors who were helping do it. Thank you to them. One of the donors came in and said, I've been anointed the messenger, and the boys have something to tell you. There's a hit piece coming out on you. And I said, oh? And they're like, you're not worried? And I'm like, no, it's another day, another hit piece. And then I said, oh, that's right. The truckers have been in this for all of 4 seconds, and you're new to the fight yourself. You've only been in it 4 months. Let me school you a little bit, sir. If you don't have a hit piece coming out on you, that means you're new, you're ineffective, or you're controlled opposition, so you best pray your hit piece comes out soon. And by the way, when you allow that hit piece to be the reason you start executing members of your own team and kicking them off the team, you just help the left win. Soros doesn't even need to put his slippers on because he's got you eating your own. So why don't you think twice about that? And they're like, well, about this disassociating from you because you're such a hot potato. And I'm like, just hold your fire. Let me school you a little more. You're a rich guy. And your sole stock in trade is you write really big checks to the movement. Checks don't win this war. Checks by people like me to be the tip of your spear and be your boots on the ground to fight your war for you. This is a two-variable equation. I need you and you need me. Don't make the fucking freaking mistake. Pardon my French. I said freaking. Don't make the freaking mistake. Sorry, God. Do not make the mistake of thinking for a single solitary second that all you need is a big damn wallet, because your wallet will be sitting in a FEMA camp burning your legal tender as tinder if you don't have people like me helping you out. Yeah. My stock in trade is my mouth and my mind and my pen and my willingness to go to the mat for every single person in here and their kids times 10 and your kids too. And he said, for the good of the group, you should stand down. And I said, hell no, for the good of the group, I'm going to stand up, because let me tell you something. You're just the latest in a long line. You're the truckers this month. A few months ago, it was the railroaders, and then it was the pilots. And next month, it'll be something else. And the way I am able to surround them with $1 million worth of assets and resources is through this mic. That is how people know. That is the connection. That is how I... This is...
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And we'll be right back after this message.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle, live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio, Studio A, for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Alright, let's show them what we got now.
We now return to Revolution Radio's very own feral hippie, Mona Radler.
Welcome back. We're here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. We are listener supported on this 23rd day of March 2022. Please donate. Help us stay on air. I'm going to see if there's any minutes left of her speech. She was so good. I love her. She is special to me anyway. Even though I haven't met her, she is very special. I've appreciated everything she's ever put out.
Act of treason to try to take it away from me, and I use it better than anyone I know. I'm almost done, Clay. I'm almost done. I'm over time. By the way, I brought the mic and the amplifiers, and they're sitting in the back of my rig, so don't even think you're taking them away from him. And he said, don't shoot the messenger. I said, don't be the messenger. He said, well, this feels bad having to say it. I'm like, because it's a bad plan and you should know it. That's your conscience telling you otherwise. And by the way, don't even think for a hot second that this is my first little goat rope testosterone field rodeo with a bunch of good old boys right. trying to elbow the little woman out after she brought all the marbles to the play yard. I was 19 working at a white shoe law firm that had only one female partner in it in 1991. And I came up from the gym one day to find my bra hanging from the chandelier in the elevator lobby with money taped to it and a business card. That was the guy, not the enemy, who was on my team and my supervising attorney. And don't think for a second I didn't get him fired too the day before he was set to make partner. So. And then my secretary came in 2 years later and said, you won. And I said, I didn't know I was in a fight. She goes, oh yeah, everybody bet against you. From the partners down to the Xerox guys, because you were 19, and you're the last man standing out of your starting class. Our money was on the Harvard Law MIT guy who'd been Colin Powell's right-hand man until he went back to law school, but you outlasted them all, and I said, and don't you forget it. Don't ever bet against me, because I have more guts and heart and persistence than most of the people in this room. God bless you, and God bless this country. And that's how you handle a disinformation campaign. Thanks, God.
Thank you.
One more time, let's hear for Lee Dundas. All right, so my wife and I and my incredible son, we just returned from our tour.
All right, that's all that I cared about doing that. I mean, I like him, but it's a little too much. All right. Yeah, this will work. The veil between the computer-generated dream world and reality is disappearing. Now it's a YouTube, so there's a fan going with its blades with a scenery in the back of any significantly advanced technology. Changing colors from blue to red, indistinguishable from magic. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. There you go.
Hey, everybody. So, this is just a quick video off the cuff. Just something that it occurred to me would be a very important thing to point out right now while all of this insanity is unfolding. With the pivot, we may live in a technologically advanced world, or at least that's what we've been told, right? But there are still certain parameters that are basic and inherent. And I think it's becoming very clear to at least some people how much of what we experience in this world through the media, through the news cycle, through social media, is based on trust. Because if you're not there physically experiencing something with your own eyeballs, your own set of senses that is sending sense data from where you physically are into your brain to be interpreted, if you aren't actually there, than wherever you're getting information from. You have to have a modicum of trust in that source to believe that what you're seeing is actually reality unfolding. I've seen pictures being shared and video clips being shared on Twitter that are literally straight out of films. And they're saying that that's what's going on right now.
Here we go, and action!
Leg the door, darling, leg the door.
But it's literally a movie. So all of this technology is not mediating reality in a way that people should just be believing every single thing that they're seeing all the time. It should be trust, but verify, at least, if you're going to do anything. Although, I don't know, I'm such a cynic at this point. I'm like, verify, that's it. Like, it's either verify or nothing. Right. I don't trust, but verify. I just verify. If you can. And a lot of people are not in the position to verify a lot of things, and so it just keeps coming back to this idea of trust, of having confidence and being able to rely upon sources. And I feel like after everything that has just happened for the last several years, it's not a conspiracy to say that trust has been heavily eroded. It was already heavily eroded before what happened in the last 2 years, right? Now, I just think it's kind of crazy that there are certain groups of people who I really do feel have been made to feel so much personal fear in their own lives and for their own well-being and those they love and care for, that they now are in a place where it's just like they're open. They're just open and receiving everything that they are told without any critical thinking stopping. It's you know how they say that when you're a child up until the age of, say, 6 or 7, before concrete reasoning skills kick in, that you are just basically a sponge that is taking in your reality in a very unfiltered way. And so everything is just going in there. I feel like that some people have reverted back now to that phase. And so everything that they are being told, there's not trust but verify. The verify part is gone. It's just believe and that's it. Without any questions being asked whatsoever. And that is a completely dangerous place for society to be in. Because it's coming up meeting with all of this technology that's getting more and more and more sophisticated all the time. And I spoke about this years ago. I did a video, and actually it had to do with a Stanford experiment that was being done, and Stanford tried to censor our video. It went viral, and then Stanford tried to censor it and got it shut down for 2 weeks, and we had to appeal. And when it finally came back, it never regained the views that it was getting before they did that. But this is kind of a follow-up to where that technology has gone and what they know now years later with some of this. So this is a picture of a child that doesn't exist. This was created by a generative adversarial network, by an AI. This child is not real. He may look real. That may look like a real kid to you, but that is a composite image that an AI made out of lots of other images, and it's getting more and more sophisticated all of the time. And in fact, it's getting so sophisticated now that studies are showing, and this one just came out, it was just published a couple of days ago, that humans now find AI-generated faces more trustworthy than the real thing.
Oh, now that's pathetic.
So we are at that point now where people are unable to distinguish now between sophisticated machine-generated humans, pictures of people, and actual pictures of actual living.
Oh, so now you really can't trust Facebook.
the veil between those two worlds is so thin as to basically be non-existent at this point. And so this was a study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, and the results suggest that real humans can easily fall for the machine-generated faces and even interpret them as more trustworthy than genuine pictures of actual human beings.
No, they all must have got jabbed, man.
Says, we found that not only are synthetic faces highly realistic, they are deemed more trustworthy than real faces.
This is pathetic.
Says study co-author Hanny Farid, a professor at the University of California.
Say whatever.
The result raises concerns that these faces could be highly effective when used for nefarious purposes. Or at all. I mean, just, they could show you 20 faces of people and say, this is these people, and this is what happened to them. Here's a whole backstory about them and why you should care and blah, 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 blah. And literally none of them could be real. That's the level.
Right.
It's beyond deep fakes. It's like whole realities can now be created by artificial intelligence, and nobody would know if they don't question anything.
Right.
And even if you do question it, it's going to become impossible to tell. And so they compiled 400 real faces of actual people and 400 synthetic versions of people. And they asked 315 people to distinguish using 128 images, and they gave them as long as they needed to do that. And then there was another group of 219 participants who actually received training and feedback on how to spot fakes to try to help them a little bit, right? And then they had a group of 223 participants that rated a selection of 128 images for their trustworthiness of whether or not that image was real. The first group did not do better than a coin toss at telling real faces from fake ones with an average accuracy of 48.2%. The second group, the one that was trained to spot fakes, failed to show a dramatic improvement, receiving only about 59%. And that's even with feedback about their choices to try to help them. And the group that was rating trustworthiness gave the synthetic faces a slightly higher average rating of 4.82 compared to 4.48 for real, actual, living human beings. And it says the researchers weren't expecting these results and that they initially thought the synthetic faces would be less trustworthy than the real ones, but that did not happen. It did say that they were able to overwhelmingly identify certain fakes as being fake. But overall, it was basically a coin toss, which means it's getting to a point of impossible to tell.
Have you ever had a dream, Neo, that you were so sure was real? What if you were unable to wake from that dream? How would you know the difference between the dream world and the real world?
And this is the study. It was done through the Department of Psychology at Lancaster University in the UK and the Department of Electrical Engineering and Computer Sciences at University of California, Berkeley. There's just a couple comments down here that I wanted to read to you in the discussion. It says, synthetically generated faces are not just highly photorealistic, they're nearly indistinguishable from real faces and are judged more trustworthy. And they thought that was the most interesting part, that synthetically generated faces were deemed more trustworthy. Synthetically generated faces have emerged on the other side of the uncanny valley. This should be considered a success for the fields of computer graphics and vision. But at the same time, easy access to high-quality fake imagery has led and will continue to lead to various problems, including more convincing online fake profiles, and as synthetic audio and video generation continues to improve. Problems of non-consensual intimate imagery, fraud, and disinformation campaigns with serious implications for individual societies and democracies. We therefore encourage those developing these technologies to consider whether the associated risks are greater than their benefits. They always say stuff like that, don't they? I bring this up all the time and I feel like a freaking broken record saying it, but how many times have we heard them warn, like, are the benefits outweighing the risks here? Like, it doesn't ever stop a damn thing, does it? Not ever.
If you travel into the future and
say, well, how good, let's say, will video games be in 100 or 200 or 1,000 years from now?
If you extrapolate that out into the future with any rate of progress at all, if you assume any improvements at all... Any rate of improvement at all. Like even 0.1% or something like that, any improvement. 1%. 0.1%.
Then the games will become indistinguishable from reality.
Then eventually those games will be indistinguishable from reality.
Beyond a certain resolution, indistinguishable from reality.
They'll be indistinguishable. It'll be so realistic, you will not be able to tell the difference between that game and the reality as we know it. Then games will be indistinguishable from reality.
So, essentially, we live in a world now, technologically speaking, where video of a person talking can be edited in real time to make it seem like that person is saying anything. Recordings of someone's voice can be used to generate a soundboard of their voice saying anything, and it sounds like they actually said it when they didn't.
Since the 90s at Los Alamos, they could take a 10-minute digital clip of anyone's voice. And in near real time, the patterns could be cloned to create a convincing, total and complete soundboard of that person. Jeez. So it's a fake that can make a person sound like a person says anything they want. And if you heard that, you would think it was really that person really saying that.
Generative adversarial networks are now creating human beings out of thin air, using bits of images to create and compile people that do not exist. And on top of all of that, it has gotten so sophisticated that people in scientific studies now cannot tell the difference between a synthetic computer-generated human and a picture of a human being that
the
actually
The pixels are so good, and it takes good art.
That is the level that we are now at. I remember when I was a kid, people used to say, seeing is believing. Right. You guys, am I dating myself now to talk about that? I remember that. I remember that being a phrase that people would generally just say sometimes. Not only do I not think it was ever true then, it's definitely not true now. And I think what we're going to start seeing, and this is just my perspective, there are some people who are tapping into their God-given gut instincts, and they're trusting that. And there are others who are having that innate sense that we all have, overridden by the lower emotions, I guess. Anger, fear, the kind of thing that just gets a knee-jerk reaction without any critical thought happening between the stimulus and the response.
Buy war bonds.
And the whole show is designed to keep people hooked in so they never pull back enough to recognize the cycle of what is happening.
What is the Matrix? Control. The Matrix is a computer-generated dream world built to keep us under control in order to change a human being into this.
A Duracell bat.
I mean, like I said in my last video, every time I leave the house, pretty much, without fail, somebody's driving off the road.
They're just, like, meandering on the road, and now there they go again. They're on the freaking median. They don't even know what they're doing. They're just in and off the road, back and forth, back and forth. This is happening all the time now. I see this every time we leave the house and go on this highway. It's like, there he goes. See it? Just over the line. Drive right off the damn road.
People need to take back their internal power over these processes. And I just think that point needs to be made, especially now when it feels like, I don't know, some people seem to be questioning things more than ever. I mean, it even came out that the characters in Animal Crossing are becoming self-aware now, and they're questioning their reality on the little island there. okay? But then you have whole groups of other people, and I don't know if it's the fear, like I said. I don't know if that's why. It just seems like they have completely foreclosed on the idea of questioning anything they're told about literally anything. And you would think, or at least I do, now is the time to be asking more questions than maybe literally ever.
No, right?
Like, ever. And so, I don't know. I just...
Depends on the question.
I just felt the need to point that
depends
out.
Depends on the question.
I feel like I am overdue for that treehouse in the woods somewhere. Anyways... I love you guys. I'll talk to you later.
How's it going to the end? It's a good question. There is so much that just basically, oh my gosh. We gotta keep living with it. We can only bring attention to it if we know what it is. And there are a few people, and there are a few people, and a few people that actually are with it. Some that pretend they're with it, and those don't want to be with it. That means their whole general self-emulating power of their authentic being that was put here for a reason, if we like it or not, that we are a band of process, okay? We are manifesting our reality. Sure, it can be, I guess, considered a matrix, but we do get what we ask for. And that's the whole situation, is I'm not going to go sorry, because I don't need no sorrow in my life. And I do, I question everything and everybody and all that, and just... You know, just go, okay, well, I'm not going to try to make it definite in my mind what I believe it to be, because I've seen through the veils. I tell that there are many screens around us, okay? But I don't know the vibrational input to those screens that we have. I mean, the effing cell towers liquefy the earth. How many cell towers are out there? Okay, so liquid fraction, and we want to know why certain places might be having earthquakes and all the rest of that crap? Because corporations and science have destroyed the total true matrix of this planet's energies. Raped it. Just screw them right over. You can tell just by the places where churches and other places are pointed on this planet in many strategic places and areas, and they're all a demonic rule. You know why everything else around it has gone yuck? I mean, totally yuck. I don't always like seeing what the hell's going on here. But that was interesting. Yeah, see, they can fool you. Fool you. That's right, but don't make up your mind. They can't fool you if you haven't made up your mind. Okay? Because that's just how I feel about TV, too, and all the rest of that. Now, I'm not saying I'm not watching it, but it is there. And I do remember the time that they showed that, you know, here's supposedly George Bush, and it looked animated. But I only know these things because of when I was growed. When I was getting my commercial art degree in the 70s, 77, that everything has a process of a layer of realms to complete a project, okay? If that made any sense or not, oh well.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Radio.
thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
I guess I'm late. Or right on time, who knows? All right, where'd I go? Welcome back. I might as well while I'm here. All right. Oh, I'm a little pissed off. I apologize. I didn't mean to be silent again, but somebody just pissed me off. And they had no right to even talk like they did. So, here's Stuart. We haven't heard...
According to the Russian military, and now corroborated by Dr. Arianna Love, there's an Australian connection to these biolabs that the U.S. was running in Ukraine for the past two decades. And sure, we don't know if the Russians are correct or if they're telling the truth, but so far they've been a lot more honest about this conflict than either Ukraine or our own leaders or media have been, so it's worth giving them a consideration. According to Igor Kirillov, the head of Russia's nuclear, biological, and chemical protection troops, documents seized from one of the biolabs show that hundreds of blood samples were transferred from Ukraine to Australia's Doherty Institute. What's the Doherty Institute? Well, that's an Australian health organization that, among other things, did the black box modeling of COVID-19 for the past 2 years, the modeling that was used to justify putting Australia into 2 years of dystopian lockdowns. And there's more. According to Ossie Cossack, a pro-Russian Australian blogger and independent journalist, Australian fighters have been spotted in Ukraine in the city of Zhytomyr, 150 miles west of Kyiv. What could that be about, if that's true? Well, Maria Z is our on-the-ground correspondent in Australia and a new part of Roar Nation. She joins us now. Maria, thank you for being here. So what do you make of all of this?
Do we know that we've got evidence, which has been submitted by Russia, that there was an export of suspicious materials, what appears to be human blood samples. I interviewed Dr. Francis Boyle yesterday, who says that this is for the purpose of ethnic cleansing. Really alarming stuff. Now, the Doherty Institute was also awarded millions of dollars to accelerate the vaccines for COVID-19. Every time the politicians got on television, on their presses, they were telling us that according to Doherty modeling, everything they did to us was because of this Doherty Institute. Why are you collecting blood samples from biological warfare labs in Ukraine for what experts are saying could be for the purpose of ethnic cleansing, and then giving Australian politicians advice on how to manage the pandemic? Their website says, modeling is a process in which real life or hypothetical situations or scenarios are translated into mathematical language, and it goes on to give reasons for why these guys are providing us with modeling.
So, in other words, the Doherty Institute is the Tony Fauci of Australia. Fauci said that we need to do this, so then we just need to do it. The Doherty Institute said that you need to do this, so then you just need to do it. So what Vladimir Putin is doing in Ukraine is looking an awful lot more and more like humanitarian aid, really, than anything else. I mean, I hate to be over the top with this, but do you agree, in a sense?
It's hard to say, Stu, but what the Russian Ministry of Defense has brought forward and what Putin is saying is that they're stopping something that could be very, very dangerous to humanity. This is what President Putin is claiming. He said, we had no option. We had to defend ourselves. These are very, very dangerous labs, and we had to put a stop to it. So if these documents are correct, then Putin's claims would be correct, and maybe there's a reason why he's actually there, and we should pay attention to some of the things that he's saying.
Well, what do we know about Putin on the surface? I mean, we know that he kicked out the Rothschilds banking system. We know that he liberated his people from the grips of that criminal banking cabal. We know that he's a nationalist in a primarily Orthodox Christian country. And so we also know that if he wanted to destroy Ukraine, he could do it in about 2 minutes or 2 hours or whatever. He has the weaponry, he has the technology, and he has the massive amount of troops to do it. He has the Navy, he has the Army, he has an Air Force, he has drones, he has guided missile systems, he has nuclear warheads. I mean, he could absolutely wipe Ukraine off the face of the map if this was really about destroying Ukraine.
The other thing that we should think about is that his address at Davos earlier this year, he actually said the words, "The New World Order is over." He said these words, and then there was a strange exchange between him and Schwab, where Schwab asked him what he's going to do to improve relations with the countries around him, and he said that they all have to work on it collectively. But these words left Putin's mouth, and during that address, he also said that he knows that everyone in that room agrees with the fact that Western governments are silencing their people, controlling them, and he actually said to the room, "I know that many in here agree that this is not okay." Essentially, I'm not quoting him word for word, but this was the messaging.
Yeah, and the other thing that we have to consider is that simply Putin doesn't like NATO, which is set up specifically for one purpose, which is to fight Russia, expanding its weaponry right to his border in the same way that we didn't like the Soviet Union putting nuclear missiles in Cuba, which almost sent us into World War III. If it wouldn't have been for Kennedy, we would absolutely have gone there. The U.S. military commanders, the military-industrial complex absolutely wanted war with Russia, with the USSR. They want war all the time because it enriches and empowers them. So now we have this whole China part coming into play here with now, of course, Fox News. And anytime they say go left, I go right. So if they say it's true, it's automatically false in my mind. But they are saying now that President Xi is going to overthrow Taiwan and take Taiwan back. Do you know anything about this?
What I do know, Stu, is that we've got foreign troops on our soil and no one knows why. So we've just been told that Australia's potentially expected to go to war with China. Why are we going to war with China? What's going on that we're not aware of? I can speak from an Australian perspective. You know that the last time I was on your show that we reported that the Australian Defence Force were loading and unloading trailers to make it look like they were doing something on camera. And we've just been told that private aircrafts were told that their assistance was not needed during these floods. Yet we've just had the Singapore Air Force arrive in Australia. We've had US Navy arrive in Queensland to help with the floods. So we're bringing in foreign troops when we're telling our own nationals that they're not needed for assistance. And this recent article that just came out, I spoke about this last night. United States will deploy thousands of troops in the Northern Territory after Australia admitted war with China is possible. So not only are we getting involved in a war that we really shouldn't be involved in, now we're bringing your troops in to deal with an Australian war with China.
Another war that we should not be involved in is a war with China. And why we have spent trillions and trillions of dollars to protect Taiwan is absolutely the opposite of America First. It has nothing to do with America. Neither does the protection or the sovereignty of Ukraine's borders and a war with Russia, even if it was a simple invasion of Vladimir Putin saying, "This land belongs to me and I'm coming to take it." That is no reason for the United States to get involved. We have failed to put troops at our own border and protect the sovereignty of our country if we're invaded by hundreds of thousands of people, I don't need to tell you, pouring over the border and infiltrating the interior of our country, setting up God knows what. I'm sure there are large weapons caches. I wouldn't be surprised if there are dirty bombs staged throughout the entire United States as a plan to cause these inner cities to virtually explode. As this New World Order or the Great Reset ushered in by Klaus Schwab and George Soros. This is the George Soros War. That's what we're seeing here. We're watching the George Soros War play out with Ukraine and Russia because George Soros wants nothing more than for the military-industrial complex to get involved, to enrich himself and his agenda. Maria Z, it's always great having you. We appreciate it very much. Thank you. God bless you.
Interesting. Oh my gosh. I got in trouble for putting photo on my Facebook about these are the children of these Congress people or whoever they are, like Joe Biden and Pelosi, and there was other ones. But that's not true, so you got to believe the fact finders, not my own self. Oh, hell no, I ain't supposed to believe myself. That'd just be the wrong thing to do. I'm telling you.
Hi, I'm the guy that supports the current thing. And right now, the current thing that I support with all my heart is Ukraine.
The flag's upside down.
Really? Oh, I thought the yellow went on top. Anytime there's a single narrative being pervasively broadcast with no room for dissent, you know it's got to be true. I get on board real quick. Here's my new profile pic. It's been a long couple years of tirelessly virtue signaling about different things, but I'm not going to slow down. Stay at home to slow the spread. I still haven't left. 2 weeks for life, baby. Then it was defund the police, then build back better with Hunter's dad, then get the shot, get the booster, and then get another booster, and then get the third booster, and now it's all about supporting Ukraine. Yeah, I'm starting a movement to defund the trees, because trees are still growing in Russia, and that's not right. I've taken painstaking efforts to investigate the Ukraine-Russia situation. 100% of my research involves me sitting in front of the TV with my eyes open and my thinking suspended. Now, surprisingly, what my research has concluded is true is exactly what the news has told me is true. To be informed, you got to turn the TV on and your mind off. This situation is not complex. Here's what I've learned. Ukraine is good and Russia is bad. It's that simple. There's really no nuance to this situation. Hey, John, will you denounce Russia?
Why?
Because I'll burn your house down if you don't.
All right, Russians are bad.
God. Thank you. Oh, yeah, we should totally go to war, especially as long as it's other people's children going over to die. But World War III, think about it. There's no downside. And everyone loves a trilogy. When I'm not washing my own thinking from my brain with the latest breaking news, I spend a lot of time trolling companies online to get them to suspend operations in Russia. Yeah, thanks to people like me putting relentless anger-fueled pressure on them, McDonald's isn't serving people in Russia anymore. Devastating! Like, what's going to happen to the Russians when they're not constantly eating the most unhealthy food on the planet? We'll probably get weaker. Dude, we got Netflix to stop streaming in Russia.
Just going to check and see if Putin surrendered yet.
Oh, and Visa, MasterCard, and American Express have frozen all transactions on the Russians. That is awesome. Preventing innocent people from buying things like food? That will definitely stop the Russian military eventually. It's brilliant. Just think about it. The Russians are ruled by an evil dictator who doesn't care about them. So by harming the innocent people that Putin doesn't care about, it'll probably get him to open his heart and stop invading Ukraine. And advocating for this kind of thing definitely shows everyone how great of a person I am. Oh, I'm a good person. So I fully support putting innocent Russians through increased hardship because I'm told to think it's the right thing to do. We need more love in this world. I hate Russians. And if you don't hate Russians, then you are clearly not hateful enough to be qualified as a good person in my book. Oh, cool. BlackRock just suspended all operations in Russia. When an evil company that's single-handedly trying to destroy the world as we know it boycotts Russia, then you know it's the right thing to do. Mathematically speaking, here's the results of all my I support Ukraine efforts. People in Ukraine actually being helped? Zero. People online knowing they should think more highly of me? 10. But from my past, I support the current thing efforts. I've learned that math is racist. So these numbers are completely irrelevant. So I'm going to keep pushing the needle of narcissism forward. Because Ukraine needs me too. Zelensky is my hero. Brave. Just sending out a tweet. I'm inspired by all the heroic things the news tells me he does. As the I support the current thing guy, I've put in a lot of effort the past 2 years advocating for forcing people to stay at home, cover their faces, and advocating for mandates that eliminate personal choice when it comes to someone's body. Sacrificing freedom and democracy for the greater good is the right thing to do. And if you don't think so, then you just want people to die. And I'll tell you this, we need to send our military to Ukraine to protect freedom and democracy. And if you don't think so because you don't want people to die, then you're a far-right extremist Putin science denier. I'll be honest with you. With the whole pandemic, I eventually stopped trusting the media. I could see through their propaganda to their lies and corruption. After 2 years of lies, they lost my trust. But they wouldn't share anything other than the unequivocal truth about Russia and Ukraine. Right? They wouldn't have any incentive to perpetuate any sort of propaganda. And I don't even think they'd be capable of such a thing, even if they wanted to. It's not like you can convince millions of people to believe a lie. I don't think that's possible. People aren't that dumb. I don't know what it is, but I feel so much safer when people agree with me about the current thing. Dude, Starbucks just cut off Russia. This is so helpful. Do you think it's possible to cut off the air supply to Russia? But when people have a different perspective about the current thing than the one me and the media share, I feel so unsafe that I go into a fit of rage and want to smear the person and destroy their life. All in an effort to help Ukraine. I'm pretty sure mass formation psychosis only works with COVID. Hey, why aren't you wearing any blue or yellow? Dude, wouldn't it be great if we started taking the people who don't support Ukraine and locking them into camps? Some people say Zelensky is an abusive dictator himself who's locked his political rivals in prison. No, based on my personal experience in Ukraine by watching the news, I know this is simply not what I'm willing to believe. It's clearly Russian misinformation, probably found on Hunter's laptop, which also doesn't exist, based on what the media that I trust has told me. Hunter sure does love Ukraine, though, doesn't he? Supporting Ukraine with every ounce of my being is something I will never stop doing because it's so near and dear to my heart. Unless a new thing comes up that'll help me stand taller as a lamb amongst sheep. Hey there, my friend. If you're a freedom lover, I'd invite you to check out my full line of freedom merch.
Everybody's got merch, man. We got merch. The Zazzle store. Yeah, I got a mug. I got a decal. Ventures of a Feral Hippie kind of thingy. Yeah, it's coming out. All right, I guess. I'll find out in a day or so. I had a little extra dollar, so I thought I'd do me that favor, since I never do me any favors. I purchased a Adventures of a Feral Hippie Zazzle Store mug. So, and the Mad made a real nice picture of it, too. So, I think it's on there. I guess you'd have to check the top row on the heading for the Revolution Radio. FreedomSlips.com or whatever. I'm sure that's there. Let's see. All right. Home, schedule, archives, contact, store, donations, standalone chat. Well, it's just at revolution.radio. Just come to revolution.radio. Yeah. I don't see Zazzle store, though. How come there's not a Zazzle store at the top of the thing there? Huh? Let's see. What if I do search? Is that, no, it's not even giving me a thing to be able to type anything in it. Oh, there it goes. Zazzle store. Let go. No, it just took me back to the beginning where I had to. Is that where it will go? Maybe it's up in there. Okay. Hawk's Nest. Okay, call to listen. Advertise here. Become a Patreon. I am a Patreon. Okay.
don't see set. I see call in to listen numbers. Studio A is 518-906-1839. Studio A, call to listen, 518-906-1839. Studio A, 518-906-1839. Okay, call to listen for Studio B, where you is at right now. Yeah, okay. My back? Yeah. Studio B. Yeah, that's, I mean, I got three more minutes. So what? What did you need, Steve? I couldn't add you that way. But I'm going to say Studio B's number. You took me out of where I was. I did it for Studio A. Now Studio B, call to listen number. Call to listen number, Studio B. 518-906-1859. Okay, so what? I just can't believe it. I mean, why? Okay. You think it is Sunday? I mean, yeah, Sunday? I mean, I don't know. Okay, so you've got a minute now. What do you want?
Did you find the store?
No.
Okay, so in the chat room, you don't have to scroll at all. It just, if you look at the top of your screen near the side, it says Navbar, Home, Schedule, Archives.
Yeah. Okay, contact, so, oh, store. Well, see, yeah. That's how far my brain has not been working today.
Well, it seriously happens.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't say, you're right, though. It doesn't say Zazzle Store. It just says Store.
Yeah, well, it should probably put, well, I know it is Zazzle Store. You know it is Zazzle Store. Yep, there's my mug right there.
Yep, yep.
So, I think it looks great. Because I have one of the original logos for the station. I like the one with the fist and the heart, but I have the whole magnetic sign that was made for the station. I inherited some interesting things with from Mike,
nice,
the person
nice
who made the station.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some interesting stories that go along with that.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
Seriously, but I'm very happy with this station. Very happy. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Seriously, I've seen stations come and go, and you learn who the, I almost said, the heads and a-holes are. And
yeah.
How, I mean, you learn a lot about people by doing this thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just accept humans for trying to be human, but they better wake the F up because we're in deep caca. And it's got to be the power of the consciousness to alter the vibrations that we are allowing to suffocate and murder us.
Yeah.
All righty, man. Thanks for calling.
All right. Talk to you later, Mona.
going back in?
Still men out there. God damn. When I go home, people ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio. FreedomSlips.com. Number one listener-supported radio. The printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs, government corruption. This is right.